KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right, welcome to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am joined with me is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right, we're back. If you're unfamiliar with our show, we are a geek-centric talk show. We talk about tech stuff, DARPA stuff, space stuff, entertainment stuff like comics and movies and video games, all those things that when you think geek, just think Robots Attack. We want to make those words the same thing.
One breath, same sentence, it's the good things.
That's right. So, gents, how have you been since last we spoke over the radio waves?
Well, since last we spoke over the radio waves, been good. This weekend was actually really busy for me. There was an art event at my church, the church I attend, this past Saturday. It's the second annual version of it.
Ooh, second year, huh?
Yes. And we actually had enough submissions to move into a larger space on campus. So that
was nice.
It was a little bit nerve-wracking getting it all together because, well, it's a bigger space, more stuff to do, and then we have to reset. We actually were in the main sanctuary, so we actually had to put it all back together again for church on Sunday. So that was...
Okay.
We had lots of help, so that it went smoothly.
That's good.
It was one of those, like, as we're getting ready for it, it's like, are we going to get it all done in time, and will we be out of here before midnight? The answer is yes and yes.
Nice. Give you applause. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. we had a whole bunch of different submissions ranging from visual art and sculpture and photography to written word and musical performance. So lots of cool stuff.
And it's good too, like you had the problem of, well, we have more stuff, so we need a bigger room instead of we got the bigger room, but like we probably could have put everything in the smaller room.
We also had several larger scale pieces this year.
Nice.
Yeah, it was exciting seeing a lot more stuff scattered around the space.
Now, I'm going to ask you the dreaded question. Did you have a favorite piece?
That's a tough one. One of my...
Or like a favorite, maybe not the favorite.
One of my favorites was actually from one of our youngest contributors this year, because last year we tried to restrict it to high school and up.
Okay.
And this year we opened it up to kind of the community, the church community at large.
Oh boy, that could be bad.
It could be, but it turned out really well.
Nice.
Yes. Our youngest contributors were, when they made the pieces, were 6 and 11 years old.
So a lot of macaroni salad stuff?
No.
Well, okay. All right.
It was like actually kind of mind-blowing like how good some of these were. Like the 6-year-old one was called Blue Flower.
Okay.
And it was a blue flower. Like it wasn't like a smear that someone called a blue flower. Uh-huh. It actually looked like a blue flower.
Nice.
And the composition was actually like surprisingly good. Like there was a lot of fairly advanced technique being applied to this, despite the fact that it was probably done very instinctually. But in some ways, that can be a positive for depending on what kind of artwork you're making. But it just was like really fascinating seeing this piece by someone so young. And then you just kind of like, I want to like analyze this, even though I know that it was probably just instinctual. But at the same time, that's part of the beauty of it. And there were several others. One of them was actually painted on an old saw blade that had been cleaned up.
Oh, wow.
So they could paint on it. It was really cool. I think one of my last favorites was just out of like the sheer like amount of effort and like interestingness that went into it was a cloth collage, for lack of a better phrase. It was okay. A collection of new and vintage doilies, the little crochet hand crocheted doilies.
Okay.
That belonged to one of our members. She made some of them, and some of them were actually handed down to her from her grandmother or great grandmother.
Oh wow! Okay.
And it was a gift for a friend that she put this piece together, and it was just really interesting. Like, we had textiles, and then we had lots of different number of paintings and some digital art, some digital painted artwork.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Good to have variety of stuff there. So you think third annual? Thinking?
We're aiming for third annual. Nice, nice. Pretty much everyone that I talked to that was a participant, as in they submitted work, was like super excited to have it and for it to be there and to have a place to show. And we had a good attendance. Well over 100 people showed up, which is
nice.
Roughly a quarter of what our standard Sunday attendance is. So that's not too shabby considering it's a one night event. So
yeah, not bad.
Cool,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of work. I'm glad that it's over, but I'm also glad that we did it.
It was worth it.
Yeah, it was.
It sounded like. Mm-hmm. So. Now, will we be able to post like some links to some pictures if people want to see some of the art?
We'll be putting up some pictures soon. I'll put links in the show notes when that
happens. Okay. Yes. Yeah, because I'm sure, you know, since it's the radio, we can try and describe stuff as best we can, but, you know, the impact, I'm sure people want to actually see it. So
yes.
Going to show off some of these artists' work.
Yes, definitely.
Especially, I'm curious to see this blue flower now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And when you see it, you might go, wow, that's not so impressive. But then remember, 6 years old. And then you go, no, wait a minute, that's actually really impressive.
I gotcha. Man, that was mean, but I gotcha.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, when you drop it in front of your face, like, interesting.
Somewhere someone's crying.
Oh, this is my big moment. Caleb ruined it. I'm giving up art forever. Going back into... whatever. I'm
returning it today.
Yeah. So, Jason.
Oh, geez.
How have you been, good sir?
This last week was kind of complicated just because I kept having those days where it was like I felt a little bit sick and I kept wanting, like, should I take the rest of the day off work? I could do it. I have plenty of days. And I, like, toughed my way through, like, each one of the days, like, all through the week. Like, each day, like, feeling more, like, stopping earlier than the last one.
Uh-oh.
But I got through it all, but it still didn't leave a ton of energy for me to feel, like, terribly interactive at the end of the day either. And so I didn't play much of any video games, so I can't use the D word as effectively as I normally do. If you're not familiar, it's a slightly different D word than you might think.
Yeah. Whoa.
Right.
Don't write your congressman just yet.
Right. I didn't get to use that as much. Okay. Anyway, moving on. So yeah, instead I ended up just watching a ton of stuff.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And there's a series that... I'm sure anybody who knows me is not going to be surprised that I was kind of into it, but it seems like kind of a long shot for a California audience in general, is a series called Longmire.
Oh, shock and awe. I am aboard, sir. How can you?
It's probably nothing that people are like, oh, how dare you? But it's still, it's very, like, Western-y, even though it's modern day, and... It seems to have fairly cliche stories for the most part, but there is some really good storytelling in it, and it has the girl who played Starbuck in Battlestar Galactica, so that's a definite bonus for me. It just overall has like a pretty... The ongoing storyline for the show is actually really good, like all of the episodes actually lead to something, which is really nice. It seems like a lot of shows like that, they just kind of toss it away, like, oh, well, maybe we'll add something for like 5 minutes where it continues something. But this one, they stay pretty dedicated. It's like half and half, whatever the theme of the week is, along with them trying to unravel this bigger mystery.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I've gotten to like it a lot.
Isn't Chavez y Chavez himself in it.
Yes, he is. He plays the best friend of Sheriff Longmire. And
okay, Caleb, I think, has a confused look on his face on who that is.
Lou Diamond Phillips. Lou Diamond Phillips is in it.
I'm like, I know I should know this name, but
right.
Young Guns reference.
But yeah, it's funny, like, seeing him kind of aged at this point, since he all of the movies that I have kind of associated with him are him maybe in his like early 20s, something like that. It's kind of sad to think that much time has actually passed. But it's anyway, moving on. So yeah, I did a lot of that, and I caught up on Doctor Who as well. I finally ended up actually seeing the Christmas episode. I couldn't find it for a long time. Then I realized that it just didn't automatically continue to it on the Netflix playlist. And so I looked back on Netflix and it was just sitting there. It was like, why didn't it? Oh, okay. I'll do that.
Sitting there waving at you.
Right.
Okay, so you're caught up with what Netflix has, just
yes,
so we're clear. Okay.
Yes.
Because they just started the new season, so.
Yeah, and I saw the first episode of that, although it was out of order since I saw the Christmas episode afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Because they did, I don't know if a lot of people are familiar with this, they actually did something kind of unprecedented with that show, is they gave a preview to the entire public of the world on YouTube for the very first episode of the season.
Ooh.
And so that was kind of nice to be able to jump onto that bandwagon, even though I was a little bit lost, like, wait, why is that person there? I thought things okay, I'm just rolling with it. But yeah, I ended up seeing tons and tons of really good fiction that I liked a lot, and I know I'm missing stuff too, but I'm probably relatively scattered from After Effects of all that stuff.
Makes sense. Speaking of making sense, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website. Never be without the underground sound. Well,
have you been up to?
I think I made up for your lack of video game playing with my video game playing. Because
Well, that's good.
It was the first week of my new streaming schedule, so
right.
I played quite a bit of video games.
Okay, mm-hmm. That would make sense.
So,
if you didn't play any video games during your streaming schedule, that would have been...
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, I could have just sat there and just, you know...
Just rock out.
Yeah.
Just do a little air guitar. Hey,
you know, I'm sure maybe a viewer would have popped in and mm-hmm. I'm like, what is this? And then left and then... you never know.
It would be pretty good, like a stream where it's just nothing but somebody who has stuff paused all the time and... is just like doing other random stuff, like washing clothes.
Like, I'm waiting. I can't tear away from this. I mean, eventually they're going to get to a video game, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
any second
probably show up in BuzzFeed
that's going to be
like
unpaused and it's going to be on.
Top 15 Twitch channels that aren't actually Twitch channels or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, so I did that, and that went fairly well. The first day... I got someone popping in and trying to spoil Metal Gear Solid 5. So that was awesome.
Fun.
So yeah. So
those are great people, right?
Oh yeah, they're the best. And then so I had to give you know, a longtime viewer, like I just made him a mod because my normal mod wasn't able to, you know, make it during that time. So he and this person were sort of duking it out because that person then went on to just create like a bunch of accounts and just come in and just annoy people.
Wow.
So, wow, classic troll.
Yeah. So yeah, that was cool. And I'm really glad that I'm really glad that I ended up turning the settings to whisper only people that you follow.
Mm.
So that way random people can't just whisper you even though you ban them.
Mm-hmm.
So because, yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah.
So yeah. Because that was happening to everyone else. Like, that person was whispering to other people. So like, having to, like, okay, this is how you... And for those who aren't familiar with whispering, it's just a way that you can, like, talk to one individual person instead of the whole chat, like, seeing mm-hmm. your text. Right. So you can send them
airing your dirty laundry to everybody.
Yeah. So I had to go like, okay, this is how you do it / ignore, blah, 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 this thing. So I was like, oh, that was annoying. But apart from that, it went fairly well. Got some new followers and, it was got to play more of Metal Gear.
Yeah, I was watching some of that.
Was it pretty much just more Metal Gear that you did, or did you add some other games to the rotation also?
No, for now, it was the same three games, Metal Gear, Mad Max, and Witcher 3.
Okay.
Just with extended hours now, so it was, I guess, a little more Mad Max, a little more Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, having that additional day, I just went with Metal Gear since it's a pretty big game.
That's true.
So I figured I'd give that some extra time since at the time, like, one day was kind of barely getting anything done in it.
Okay.
It's a pretty sizable chunk of play time from what I hear.
Yeah. So that went well. Mm-hmm. So well, in fact, that I took the plunge and am going to build a streaming PC with the new Elgato.
So, oh, nice.
I'm not going to stream like PC games, mm-hmm. but I'm going to use it to stream with the Xbox
quality.
One.
Okay.
Nice. So I don't have to use the Twitch app and the Xbox One anymore.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Not that it's bad, but it's very simplistic and it's not going to elevate your game, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah. Now I can do overlays and green screen and all that stuff.
Fun.
So,
look forward to seeing what you come up with for that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to turn to you guys for a couple things for help with stuff.
I guess.
To make
whatever.
To make it even cooler, even better. So
interesting pro tip number one.
Mm-hmm.
Green screen is not a bright green. It's actually very mid-green, and then it's the lights that make it bright.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I have one that's very bright. That explains a lot of things.
I mean, it can still work. It's just you have to tweak your settings.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't work at all. Not at all.
That's not good.
It's very bright.
It's so bright.
It sort of glows.
Ah.
A little bit. A little
almost
bit.
Radioactive, in a sense.
Right.
When people
hopefully it's at not actually
radioactive,
but I would not be surprised.
Like, wow, it's really bright in here. Why are all the lights are off? What? Like,
maybe I'll turn you into Randall Savage. You'll be immortal and genius.
You can only hope. You know,
there you go.
That something good comes from my poor choice in fabrics.
Oh, and then I must apologize again for not being able to help you guys on Saturday.
No worries. It
was, yeah.
It would be. We knew it was going to be a pretty small window between when you were going from one event to the next, and so it's cool.
And then because I mean, I also did the animal shelter stuff as mm-hmm. normal, and it was only like two volunteers on Thursday for the ringworm kittens.
Okay.
So we were left just to clean out while they went and dipped them. So mm-hmm. the woman I was with is a lovely woman. She's mm-hmm. just very kind, very nice. She talks quite a bit.
Okay.
And she's
talks quite a bit. Good or?
It's good. It's okay. Just like, and she's like, very thorough on stuff and like
okay.
really like, okay, so we're going to do this, and like it made the cleaning take longer than it should have
because
the cats came back and they were like waiting in the cages and like, I'm like thinking in my head, we need to get this done. So like trying to clean, get this stuff. And then it's like, okay, I'm all suited up, ready to hand me the cats. But first I need the food. Like, and then the other veterinarian person was come over like, what's going on with the cats? Like, I'm just waiting for the food because she was outside. She stayed outside, so she's preparing the stuff, just hand me. So she wouldn't have to gown up and everything.
Right? Okay.
And it's easier. So it's like, I'm just waiting on the food and put the stuff in there. And then, I was getting, and then get the cats and then put them in. And they're like, I don't like going in the cage. But then when you try taking them out, they're like, I don't want to come out of the cage.
Right,
like grabbing onto it.
You can't make me.
Yeah. Then there were two that were like, even the, the vet person there was like, those two are trouble. They'll definitely hiss at you. So here's what you do. just lift up this like front part of the cage and kind of dump them out into their room. So instead of trying to pull them out. And so, yeah, so he did that. I was like, grab the cage, run over there, opened it up. It's like, slowly dip, pour. And the cats popped out. I was like, yes, all right, close it. Close it back up. And then kind of went over to him. And the other one was like, ah.
you did this to me.
Yeah. Like, oh, all right. And then of course,
I'm just imagining that first one sliding down all cartoon style, like,
yeah. It was pretty amazing.
Okay.
It was like, because there is like a layer of newspaper on the bottom of the cage.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so
that probably helps
slid.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, but you know, all in all, we got it done, and it was fun and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And then the only other thing that I did was watch some more Naruto Shippuden. Like,
oh, okay.
I think it's what, on like episode 400 or so, like in the, it's so high, right? So
it's ridiculous.
I think like I'm on, I think I mentioned this before, probably off the air, but
okay.
I found online like a list of here's all the filler episodes,
right,
and here's all the, you know, main story episodes. So I was like, okay, skip through the filler ones and just watching the main ones since I have so many episodes.
Who needs more Beavis O'Brien episodes?
Oh, God.
Oh man,
that was a very,
although I wouldn't mind watching that one again, just to get a screenshot of that guy. But yeah, so
just that smile.
Yes. Oh, I have to go back and figure out. I don't remember what arc that was. Naruto.
I have
no
idea.
It was
close to the end. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so anyway, I watched the arc with where Naruto needs to learn a new jutsu.
Oh, okay.
And then one of the, like, I mean, I know it's super old, but I won't spoil it. But like one of the...
No, spoil away.
One of the teachers begins with an A, like, isn't so lucky. And
okay.
So that makes like... is it Shikamaru or the shadow guy?
Yeah, Shikamaru, I believe. That's
yes.
Some of the, yeah, like
his, I'm going with yes.
His, like, his team's, like, leader, like, teacher, you know, like, you know, it hits him hard. And so it's like, it's that arc where they take on the two Akatsuki, like the immortal guy, mm-hmm. and like his buddy who's like, man, how to describe that guy? Like, weird, like, wiggly tentacle things, like he can like harden himself. Like, I don't want to, like,
it's sort of the first demon from the Princess Mononoke.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like somebody took that idea and just went for broke with it.
Okay, yeah. So I finished that arc, and then it led to a filler, and that's where I stopped.
Okay.
But yeah, that one was cool because it was
that
neat.
Was a really good story.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was neat seeing them take Naruto's like shadow clones,
mm-hmm.
and like use that to help him train faster.
Yeah,
and then it was cool when he like him in an actual fight, like sending a couple out as just guinea pigs,
mm-hmm.
to then like when they died, like he'd absorb their knowledge from them. Like, okay, I'll just send a couple out. Boom, boom, they got killed. Okay, so now I know this guy can do this. That's like, it was like, whoa, Naruto's actually using some tactics. Like,
yeah,
that's really cool.
Well, yeah, and it, what makes it so cool, too, is that you end up realizing that he was actually really tactical the entire time. It's just he didn't necessarily know it.
Yeah.
He was just kind of naturally stumbling onto all of these things that worked really well for him.
Uh-huh.
Is that natural talent, as it were? Like, he's reacting on an instinct, but it happens to be a very good instinct?
Well, what it really comes down to is that shadow clone jutsu or jutsu, whatever, is so crazy powerful, and nobody really explained to him why it's so powerful other than just outright having so many copies of himself.
No.
And it's just by having it at such a young age, he ended up developing a lot faster because he had that. It's what it really comes down to.
Gotcha.
Yeah, now it sort of makes more sense now. Because at the time, they kind of played it up more of just like, you know, oh, he can make a few sort of copies of him, but they were almost sort of distraction, like they've, right. you know, been, and then as it goes along now you're like, oh, he's actually like gaining knowledge from right. them and all that stuff. And yeah, it, they do kind of a funny thing where they have to constantly like explain, like it kind of goes back to what you said. It's like, I think Naruto knows the stuff, but he doesn't know that he knows it, kind of. Right. And then they like try to explain it to him, like, okay, so this is good against this, this is bad against this, and he's just like, what? And then like, okay, so if it's like this, and it's like this, and those, and then like, oh, and then he, you know, but like he probably would come to that,
yeah,
if no one explained to him. But yeah, it's just it's kind of funny seeing like the difference, how they sort of like ape him, kind of, but not really, like, you know, uh-huh. like sort of here's his disadvantage, but it's mm-hmm. you know, kind of not really disadvantage, but blah blah blah. But
yeah,
but
yeah, turn it, the weakness into a strength.
Yeah, but yeah, and it just shows, like, especially watching this, like how much, man, like they must have just like planned so much stuff ahead of how, like, when they explain like his, like how his chakra, like it's better against like Sasuke's, one of Sasuke's chakra, but then so like on the circle of the chakras, right. but then how Naruto turns it around and sort of is like, no, it's like you looked at it how like we're I can defeat him, but like my other chakra actually like can help his other one, so it's like we're actually good in the sense as teammates, instead of
right.
where they were looking at it like, oh well, this is good for you because you'll be able to defeat him on this. It's like, no, it's good because I can help him with this other one. So that was like, to me, like a really cool moment, like when he sort of turned that, when I forget Yamata, I think was the teacher yeah. that I was talking to him, when he kind of turned that on, I was like, whoa, that's deep, Naruto. That's right. deep. Like,
yeah.
That's good on you.
Yeah, there's so many instances like that it really comes down to that the character has such a good heart that he just refuses to give up on people, that it ends up being kind of his biggest strength, like bigger than any of the other stuff.
Yeah.
So it's sort of become a classic anime trope for these big series.
Yeah.
I don't think they don't use it anywhere near as much for like a regular 25 or 50 episode series.
Yeah.
But for the big ones, like they did the exact same thing with Dragon Ball Z, because Vegeta ends up being like a really good ally, not necessarily a good person.
Spoiler,
but
yeah.
yeah. But yeah.
Power level 9000! Sorry.
But, it's understandable. But yeah, so I was watching that and I was a little bummed that where it stopped, like the next filler chunk mm-hmm. was like had Kiba in it. It's like, Kiba, but I kind of looked over some of this filler and it doesn't sound like it's super great. And
I think I know which one
you're I've got
about
so much to catch up on, so dang it.
I think I ended up watching that one and I kind of liked it. Not that it was like
incredible,
awesome, or really contributed. Well,
I'm on the fence.
Sort of lead into something and make something fit a little bit better later on, but not by a huge amount.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still sort of on the fence because I'm splitting my time between One Piece, Naruto, and Fairy Tail, like uh-huh. watching chunks, you know, like, okay, I'll watch this chunk until it gets to a filler, switch to another. So, you know, okay. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. maybe I'll give that a break. But speaking of Kiba, who has Akamaru with his dog, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. So, anything else you gents want to mention?
I'm going with no.
Okay.
I'm good for now, too.
So.
So.
Last week, Mm-hmm. We wrapped up our first watch party.
Yeah.
With Punchline.
And it worked out really good.
Yeah, it worked out really well. If you want to go back and listen to those, Caleb, how could they do that?
If you would like to catch up, you can go to robotsattack.me. That is the one-stop shop for all things Robots Attack. It has archives. It has comment section. It has email form. But if you want to interact with us right now, you can either hit the interact link on robotsattack.me, which will take you to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. That's all one phrase, no extra punctuation. Those are the two ways to get in contact with us as we speak.
That's right. So, Punchline, we all had something in our minds. We're like, okay, if I get chosen, this is what's going to get picked. And we all rolled the dice, and I was fortunate enough the first time mine got picked, so I picked Punchline. Now, since my decision was, you know, since I got the pick last time, I'm out of it this time, and so now it's down to Caleb and Jason. And right. I have
the die. I'm actually, like, really nervous.
So, gentlemen, are you prepared to roll to see who picks our next watch party?
I am. I went back and forth like 30 billion times on what I was going to actually choose.
Okay.
Ooh. So
who wants to roll first?
Jason, you can go first. Yeah.
Oh. All right. Jason's rolling. He's rolling the die. Oh, it has rolled. Ooh, he has rolled a three. Okay.
Right down the middle.
All right, down the middle. Caleb, it is now his turn. He's rolling the dice. He's rolling the dice. Oh, he's kind of hiding it, too. I can't see. What is it?
Oh, I saw that coming.
Ooh, he got the six. Holy cow.
Literally doubled me.
Doubled you. All right. It looks like Caleb is deciding our next and your next watch party. So, Caleb.
All righty. Well, I know you said it didn't have to be an anime.
Uh-oh, you chose an anime, didn't
I did.
You? Okay. It's all right. It's all right.
And you picked a very current one. I'm going a little bit different.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I'm picking a classic.
Oh, okay. All
right. Captain Harlock.
Captain Harlock. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And we will divide by season, just one group of, I believe it's 13 episodes. Let's see.
So we'll do the first season of Captain Harlock. And
yes.
Okay.
Sweet. Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those, like, you know, if we wish to jettison at a certain point, we can move on. We can maybe break it up with something else after that season so we can...
Well, we'll do the first season of Captain Harlock. How many seasons are there?
Actually, it looks like...
362.
No, there's 42 episodes total.
Okay. In the first season has how many episodes?
They actually didn't break it down by season on here, which is annoying. I will verify that and get... let's see...
Okay, because 42 episodes is quite of a lot for... Right.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying, like, you know, that's why I'm saying we should break it up just a little bit.
Yeah, if you can find out, like, do you know, does it break up into seasons, or is that...
I'm sure it does. I mean, because they have to have a production schedule.
Yes.
Like a yearly production schedule.
Okay, question, did you have another choice just in case you can't, like, we can't figure out a breaking point in this? Because my only concern is 42 is a lot of episodes.
Yeah, so. No, I totally understand.
We'll just watch four episodes per run, and we'll get through it real quick.
Like, 10 episodes every week. Oh, God.
let's see. One of the other ones I was thinking of was the Venture Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Because I know that one has definite seasons. And I think they're fairly short. They're about 12 to 13 episodes.
So. Yeah, I think the first season is pretty short.
Okay.
So that's my... I did pick animation for both of them, but those are the two that...
Still, American animation is a shake-up, so...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Venture Brothers is distinctly different than...
Yes.
It's very American.
Very true. And that is available on...
That will be available on Hulu.
Okay. Regular Hulu?
I believe so. I will verify these choices as we continue.
Man. He didn't think he was going to pick. That's probably... He didn't think he was going to win, I think.
I was a bit surprised that it came through.
Man.
See, I knew.
All right, well...
I should have known that it was a...
The second I saw that three, it was just like, okay. Yeah.
Well, here's what we'll do. We'll take a music break.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back. You'll finalize. You'll get the information we need so we can let the people know.
Yes.
Because they're going to be on the edge of their seats. Like, which one are we watching? What are we doing?
So, I can feel the seat edges.
I can feel it too.
And butts on those edges right now.
Yep. So we'll do that, and then we'll come back. We'll finalize all that, and then we'll do some new releases and the news and the rest of the show. So we'll be back with more Robots Attack after this music break.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. So, Caleb,
yes.
Over the music break, we did some research. We found out you've decided on what our next watch party is officially going to be.
Yes,
starting next week.
The official choice is Dirty Pair.
Dirty Pair,
which is an 80s anime, which is a lot cleaner than the title might imply. The quote unquote dirty pair is that they're very secret operatives, and they're famous for leaving a trail of destruction in their wake. Hence, clean up and dirty.
Gotcha. All right, so we will watch the first two episodes and discuss those starting next week.
Yes.
So that's your homework assignment, everyone. If you want to join us for the watch party, because we will be spoiling the heck out of those episodes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you don't care, you know, we can't force you to watch it or anything, but if you want to participate and be a part of the discussion, we'd love to have you.
All about it.
This will be a little bit history lesson on the fine art of anime. So
yes, and we will promise not every choice is going to be anime, just in case you're like, oh, I don't like anime. That just happened to work out that way. So
yeah.
All right, let us move on to new releases.
Woohoo!
This week in the theater, we have The Forbidden Room, a submarine crew, a feared pack of forest bandits, a famous surgeon, and a battalion of children soldiers all get more than they bargain for as they wend their way toward progressive ideas on life and love. Yup. There's also Pan. Peter is a mischievous 12-year-old boy with an irascible rebellious streak. But in the bleak London orphanage where he has lived his whole life, those qualities do not exactly fly. Then one incredible night, Peter's whisked away from the orphanage and spirited off to a fantastical world of pirates, warriors, and fairies called Neverland. There he finds amazing adventures and fights life or death battles while trying to recover the secret of his mother, who left him at the orphanage so long ago, and his rightful place in this magical land. We also have Knock Knock. When a devoted husband and father is left home alone for the weekend, two stranded young women unexpectedly knock on his door for help. What starts out as a kind gesture results in a dangerous seduction and a deadly game of cat and mouse. Then we have, I need to get the proper, Steve Jobs, set backstage at three iconic product launches and ending in 1998 with the unveiling of the iMac. Steve Jobs takes us behind the scenes with the digital revolution to paint an intimate portrait of the billion man at its epicenter. Then we have
this radio broadcast just became 30% more expensive because of that right there.
Whoa.
So 30% more than free is still free.
It's still free. And then we have Victoria, a young woman from Madrid, meets four local Berliners outside a nightclub. Sonny and his friends promise to show her a good time in the real side of the city. But these lads have gotten themselves into hot water. They owe someone a dangerous favor that requires repaying that evening. As Victoria's flirtation with Sonny deepens into something more, he convinces her to come along for the ride. And later, when things become more ominous and possibly lethal, dangerous for Sonny, she insists on coming along. As the night takes on an ever more menacing character, what started out as a good time quickly spirals out of control.
Man, those spirals.
Ooh, I know. Out of control.
I knew it.
You found the culprit behind the Simple Note fiasco?
Yep. It's Jason whenever he signs on, kills all of my edits. Something about your account it likes you better.
Caleb wanted to do an experiment and test it out, and
thankfully I made a backup.
Backup! Yay! Caleb was prepared.
You can't get it back unless you back it up. So
So I should uncheck the thing where it automatically deletes all of your stuff?
Yes, you should.
Don't!
Yeah. This week's DVD and Blu-ray selections are Magic Mike Triple XL. The stage is set ablaze again with the power, the majesty that is the male erotic dancer. Exotic dancer, Magic Mike Lane. But he doesn't walk alone. The crew is back for the largest extravaganza of male exotic dance. So start the sit-ups now because the abs are coming.
Dun, dun, dun. Sprockets where we dance. Sprockets and Magic Mike together.
Yes. Black leotards, not mandatory.
That's a lot of grinding.
Yep.
Then we're changing gears really hard because we're going to When Marie Was There, which is an animated feature. And it looked like it might have been a Studio Ghibli production, but I'm not positive. I couldn't really tell. The icon was very small. Anna moves from the foster home in a big city to the coastal town of Hokkaido. Like many young people, she spends much of her time daydreaming and feeling shunned by the local population.
Mm.
Anna is eventually befriended by Marnie, who seems content to accept Anna as she is. And while the friendship is welcome, Anna is not entirely sure who Marnie is.
Ooh, don't trust her.
Then we have Bat Kid Begins on DVD. Many children dream of being a superhero, but one lucky kid got to live it. This is the heartfelt true story of how the world rallied together to make a wish come true. And Sharknado 3! Oh, hell no. That's in the title. apparently, people can't
sound like you were about to walk out. I'm done.
That's it.
I have to talk about this.
Yeah. Apparently, people can't get enough of sharks in tornadoes because we have three honest-to-God movies about them.
Yep.
Even Birdemic stopped at 2, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Enough needs more.
And now rounding it out with...
Because there was no demand for Birdemic 3.
It's got you there.
Yeah, he does. And rounding it out with Going Clear, Scientology and the Prison of Belief on Blu-ray and DVD. Based on a book by Lawrence Wright with the same title, this dives deep into the heart of one of the most secretive religious organizations. Using first-hand accounts, interviews, and dramatic recreation, the nature and the terror of the church is revealed.
Dramatic recreations.
And from what I hear, the book is actually about 2 to 3 more times chilling than the movie because the details and the things that are just described in the book are kind of like, wow, it might be a little bit tinfoil hat, but if that is even remotely true, then skin is crawling and EBGBs are all over the place.
Already getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Quick, take us to video games.
Wait, we have to dwell on the EBGBs
second. Video games.
Okay.
Unless it's a scary video game.
It's trying to be, kind of, I guess. first up, we have, exclusive for the PS4, Disgaea. There's Disgaea. No I, though. Disgaea. Disgaea, I know. Five. Alliance of Vengeance.
Five of them.
Which,
five of these guys.
I, from what I understand, is actually the sixth one. So I don't know if there was a zero at some point. But
Final Fantasy
that,
3 is actually Final Fantasy 6.
It's true.
It's too much for me. That's coming out on October 6th, as well as Rock Band number 4 coming to PS4 and Xbox One. So far the reviews for it haven't been absolutely stellar because it's pretty much what we're all used to, which is kind of good too. So
yes.
Mm-hmm. Next up we have Elite Dangerous, also coming on the 6th. Everybody coordinates these days. Coming to PC, Xbox One, and Mac. They're talking like they have, I think they said like 400 billion different star systems in the thing. And I don't know. That seems like a lot. I know it's probably not No Man's Sky territory, but
that's quite a
bit.
It's
still impressive. I'm anyway.
Did you ever try the game preview? I never
got around to it. That's why I'm actually pretty interested to look into this one. But I've heard that the big thing that you want to lock down on that one is to get all of your controls keyed in just the way you want them, because I've heard that's the most difficult thing right there, is getting yourself acclimated to actual space flight, because otherwise docking will be a problem.
3D space is hard, man.
Next up, we have more of the same, mm-hmm. kind of. also a PS4 exclusive. Not more in the same as in Elite Dangerous, but Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection. That is coming out on the 9th, which is sort of an upside down 6. So it kind of coordinates with everybody else.
Yeah, but the video games come out whenever they darn well please, it seems like these days. So
there used to be a system.
Tuesdays used to be DVDs, music, and that was media release day. It was Tuesday.
Yeah.
For us, I know for a bunch of countries, it was like Fridays, and then so now it's
all
everything's
crazy
now. And you know, if you think about it, like technically, if you I guess even if you like pre-ordered a physical one, like a digital one, if you're on the West Coast, like at 9 o'clock, you can download your game because it's midnight. In the East Coast, so
I'm glad that they
on Monday,
started doing that.
So it's just everywhere, and then I know like Xbox. I don't know how it is in PlayStation Land, but they're always dropping like indie games throughout the week, and like you're like, what the heck? When did these games come out? No wonder no one knows you have these games. You don't talk about any of them.
It's like you have to subscribe to Major Nelson's podcast to know that they're actually releasing independent games.
And usually, if you're kind of that hardcore, you kind of know, like, okay, you're already kind of invested in Xbox already, so you're not really
there was another one coming out that I did learn through the Major Nelson podcast. That it's called Orbit. That's just coming out on Xbox One, as far as I know. I'm sure it looks like a type of game that probably had a PC release earlier, the main thing that was unique about it to me was that it's exclusively multiplayer on console, like in the same living room. Like, I haven't seen a game like that in so long.
Local multiplayer?
There's no online at all. But it looked kind of interesting. It looked tricky as all heck because it was a gravity-based versus shooter where you have ships that are being affected by the gravity of planets and moons and so on. So
now it's Space Wars all over again.
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah, I think Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time is only local
co-op
as well. Right. I believe so. But
see, I'm used to it for co-op, but when it's a versus thing, I'm used to
I see what you mean. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of versus ones that they do kinda stand out when you do hear about them. Like,
yeah, that's sort of Nintendo territory for some reason. It shouldn't be, though.
No,
free the versus multiplayer local
free for everyone.
Would
you like to hear about the Campbell Historic Heritage Theater?
Boy, would I.
Okay, well, Campbell's Historic Heritage Theater kicks off its 2015-2016 season with Wilson Phillips on Friday, October 9th at 8 p.m.
That's a Campbell coup right there.
Yeah. That's this Friday.
Dang.
That's why I did this one, because it's got a kill date that's pretty soon, so it probably would be good to do it since, you know, we haven't had many SPSAs for so long. Like, take advantage of them while
we can. Our particular slot is usually pretty threadbare, and all of a sudden we get a bunch of them, and they're all dying in a day or so.
Yeah. No. I know it's a lot of behind baseball, but anyway, with 5 studio albums under their belt and their impressive pedigree as daughters of 2 legendary groups, Wilson Phillips' harmony-rich sound still sets them one notch above the rest. For ticket information, call 408-866-2700 or visit heritagetheater.org. That's 408-866-2700 or heritagetheater.org.
Wilson Phillips like brings me back to old like record, like mail order days. It was one of their CDs was the very first like disappointing quote unquote CD that I ever got, and it wasn't like it was bad or anything. It was just like, how did they get this out of me selecting an alternative? what is this an alternative to? I guess men, but other than that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of alternative things.
Yes.
Let's talk about comics. We've talked about a lot of video. Let's talk about a little bit of comics. Start at DC. It's Batman and Robin Eternal, number one. This miniseries is a follow-up to the original Batman Eternal and takes place 5 years ago. This case is one of their most challenging as they are taking on a huge human trafficking ring. Then across the country at Marvel, it's Amazing Spider-Man number one. It's a brave new world. Peter Parker is a global name, and Peter is busy keeping it all running. His new jet-set lifestyle includes his bodyguard, Spider-Man. Then from Dark Horse.
I'm so confused. Exactly. I thought he was dead. Or, what? Oh, man.
Worlds collide.
Is this the Universe 616, or which one is this?
Oh, I don't know.
All right, so to be less confusing, here's from Dark Horse, Lara Croft, The Frozen Omen, number one.
Already number confused.
This week, so if you want to like jump in on something new, check this out.
Oh, okay.
It's a new miniseries. Lara is in a race against time as she must stop a group of cultists from bringing about global devastation.
No, stop doing that, cultists.
Man, and then, love that.
At Image, it's Paper Girls, number one. It's 1988, just after Halloween. Four young paper delivery girls make a world-altering discovery. Double-sized first issue. Cool. Same price as a normal issue, too.
Nice. That's then, value.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then at IDW, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 50. This is the closing chapter on a four-year-long story.
Whoa.
This is the battle that will alter the course of the lives of the Turtles, the Shredder, and New York City.
Whoa.
Yeah, some serious stuff has been going down in that series from what I understand. So that probably is going to be a big deal.
Yeah, probably. And then our good friends over at Wow Cool have some picks for us. There is Dean Haspel's Beef with Tomato.
Okay.
Mardu's The Sky in Stereo. Space Raiders number 4 from Black Mask is apparently a must-buy, as is Hip Hop Family Tree number 2.
Mm.
And he rounds it out with also a big plug for Paper Girls number 1, in no small part due to the fact that the creative team is Michael K. Vaughan and Cliff Chiang.
Oh, okay.
Which, if those names sound familiar, they've been highly influential, making some of the better series that have been produced in the last 5 to 10 years. So,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
and Vaughn dabbled in TV for a while too.
He did, and then he realized his true heart was in comics and came back.
Came back to his one true love.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'll wrap us up with a couple music things. We've got
something from Wilson Phillips.
Already did that one.
No.
And, they got Gray Tickles, Black Pressure by John Grant. A third solo release for the Czar's frontman was produced by John Congleton. And we have We the Generation by Rudimental. Second full-length release for the British Quartet features guest appearances from Anne-Marie, Ella Airy, Sinead Harnett, Leanne La Havas, Will Hurd, Mahali, M-N-E-K, Dizzy Rascal, Ed Sheeran, Foy Vance, and Bobby Womack.
Wow.
Wow, that's a plethora of
that's
crazy names.
Diverse.
In there. Yeah. Trying to hit something for everyone.
Serious.
All right. So that's a handful of some new releases this week. We are going to take another quick music break, and then we'll come back with the news.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's tease them some news. Keep them on the edge of their seats.
How about some robots?
Robots, yes.
On the big screen.
On the... Oh.
Okay.
Right. For the next 5 years.
Oh.
Okay. That's a long time.
That is a long time.
That's dedication from those robots.
Yep.
If you thought that it was a good idea to jump in water to get away from bees, well, I have to introduce you to some new bees.
Wah.
No, you can leave those bees right over there. I don't want to meet them.
Oh, man. Wah. All right, that and more with more Robots Attack after this break. And of course, Caleb, how can they participate on the show?
If you would like to be in touch with us right now, give us your thoughts, opinions. Just want to tell us that you think something's cool. Let us know at robotsattack.me, or right now you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow and twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those are Wokeman in the background. We are checking them as we speak. Interact with us. It's awesome.
Very awesome. All right, let's take that music break and then be back with more Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Want to listen to KCU even when you're not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at KCU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip.
Find us faster by searching for KSCU.
That's right. And now let us go into...
News.
That's right. We are in the news. That's news-em, gentlemen.
Alrighty. Start with a report from The Verge saying that Hasbro has announced... Oh, I apologize for misspeaking earlier. 10 more years.
What?
Of Transformer films.
What? Okay. Like yep. Live action films?
That's what it sounds like.
Oh, wow. Okay. They are committed.
Yeah.
Are they all associated with a certain director or no?
Well, the name of one director whose name might sound like Michael Bay was said several times during the event.
May rhyme with Michael Bay because it's Michael Bay.
Yeah, but apparently they have brought in the head of the film franchise area is saying that he brought in 9 of the most creative writers he's ever worked with to work on the next raft of Transformers movies.
Okay.
They're committed to 5. They're saying they're committed to 5, let me put it that way.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, one of the writers is actually Akiva Goldsman, who was the writer for A Beautiful Mind.
Hmm. Wow.
So okay. I'm not sure what these movies are going to look like, but...
They're definitely hunkering down, taking it seriously.
Yeah they like. Have.
Well, I mean, they still make the money, so...
Yeah. That is true. Despite all the poop they get
right,
thrown on them.
There's still an event that people look forward to.
Yeah, I like the way they described Transformers Age of Extinction as a dumpster fire.
Wow. So,
they had a very high opinion of that movie.
Oh, that's a high opinion, huh? Okay. In that it created warmth, I suppose.
Yeah,
where you're going with that.
I'm sure the heat off of the 4K lamps and the the projector rooms created some warmth.
I wonder too if maybe after this first or second one, maybe Michael Bay will go into more of an executive producer role. Like maybe they'll have him do, because I don't know if he wants to do like all 5.
Years.
But
I get the feeling that he's probably like. An explosions workaholic.
Yeah.
I get that feeling. I may be wrong.
Hey, more power to him if he wants to do them. I wonder, you know, some directors is like, okay, you know, like I'll do
time
the first couple, but
exercise my creative juices elsewhere.
Yeah. I want to make something on this or do this, go back to this or something. But
it's kind of what DJ Abrams is proposed to be doing with the Star Wars franchise. He's doing the first one and then others are taking on after him.
Right. Okay, next up, as promised, we have bees that will follow you into the water.
Oh, man.
This is, of course, a kind of a big deal just because bees aren't normally able to do that. They actually get stuck on the top of the water and they just sit there like, meh. Meh.
I was going to say, how do you, how's that going again?
Help.
Right, yeah.
Can't swim.
So, up until now, that was a reasonable way to get away from said bees. Mm-hmm. Well, Harvard is looking into changing all of that because they're mad. First off, they are creating robo-bees, which is a sin against nature to begin with. Let's face it. And I don't know if it really is.
Could be.
Maybe I'm reading my Bible wrong. I don't know. Harvard has been creating robo-bees for a while.
Robo-bees.
But they stumbled onto an interesting little thing, is that their bees, unlike natural bees, can go into the water and just turn down the knob on their power plant just a little bit, and they can fly underwater.
Oh, man.
This is the most terrifying thing you have ever brought to our attention.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome. Okay.
Big Dog was nothing compared to this.
Right. Well, okay, here's the bright side, at least for now, is Harvard hasn't figured out how to make the 100 milligram weight adapt it to current battery technology. And so right now their bees are on little strings like balloons.
Oh jeez.
So all you have to do is get out like the length of the string and then you're all set. Just swim a little distance, you're okay for now until they master those 100 milligram batteries. Then you'd better get much better at swimming.
Yeah, makes me think of one of Eddie Izzard's bits about being a beekeeper. Well, keep bees, you know, put bits of elastic on them so they fly away, grab hold, and come right back to the hive. Anyways,
yes.
Well, my next story, if bees in the water
right
didn't scare you enough. Maybe,
no, they probably don't.
Maybe this will.
Yeah, come on, scare me. Come
on. But on the plus side, it's a prehistoric shark with an enormous mouth was discovered.
Oh, so not a current day shark?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
That we know of. A new largemouth shark dating to nearly 100 million years ago.
That's a lot of millions.
During the dinosaur age, has just been identified. The shark. No, okay. Ooh, I'll try to say this name right.
Warm up your Latin.
Shamalama ding dong.
Pseudomega chasm.
Ooh.
Chasma. Chasm. Chasma? Chasma.
Let's go with chasma.
Chasma. Lived in warm oceans chasma. And used its gigantic mouth to feast on thousands of tiny creatures, such as small crustaceans and bits of algae.
Oh, okay.
Collectively known as plankton.
So it's like a whale shark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was trying to build it up, you know.
It's
you know.
A little bit less terrifying than the other version.
Yeah.
They're terrifying if you don't know what they are.
Yeah.
Whoa. The bees are now the scariest thing in the water. The shark has been downgraded.
Right. Yeah.
The shark's like whoa.
they can do what now?
Yeah.
That's unnatural.
Lead author Kenshu Shimada of DePaul University told Discovery News that this extinct plankton-eating shark could have looked like a sand tiger shark with a large mouth equipped with many tiny teeth.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Modern sand tiger sharks are known for their protruding teeth, small eyes, and pointy snouts, which give them the menacing look.
They look shifty is what they look like. Yeah. They're like, I don't trust that shark.
These extinct sharks classified as vulnerable by the IUCN Red List of Endangered Animals, pose little threat to humans, however. An extremely rare species of modern deepwater shark, the megamouth, also had a connection to the dino-era big mouth beast. The fossil shark, Shimada explained, has a tooth design that is nearly identical to the living megamouth shark. Hence the new genus name, Pseudomegachasm.
Oh, okay.
Shimada's team made the determinations after analyzing recently collected tiny fossil teeth from crustaceous rocks. The scientists believe that at least two species fall under the new Pseudomegachasm lineage. Pseudomegachasm cassi from Russia and Pseudomegachasm
Cassius Clay.
The Comanchensis from the United States.
Okay.
The fossil record suggests that representatives of the newly identified shark lineage first emerged in shallow water environment in Russia before later migrating to the North American Western Interior's seaway that once split North America into two land masses.
Okay.
The prehistoric sharks already have at least one claim to scientific fame. Pseudomegachasm, collectively referring to the species falling under that genus, appears to be the oldest known plankton-feeding shark in the fossil record that evolved independent of the four known lineages of modern-day plankton-feasting cartilaginous fish. The megamouth sharks, basking sharks, whale sharks,
right,
and manta rays.
Right.
So the evolutionary history of plankton-feeding sharks may have been much more complex than previously thought. It's now known that from very early on, sharks were taking advantage of plentiful plankton. Plentiful plankton. This is nice to say.
Alliteration.
It's pretty cool.
To give some idea on how long ago that was, consider that pseudo-megachasm was thriving in ocean waters around 85 million years before infamous Megalodon, the world's largest ever shark, is believed to have lived.
Yeah. Wow.
If you say that many million, you have to do a little hand flourish along with it.
Like, oh, okay. Whoa. I'll do that for next time. So, and there's like a little kind of sketch of the shark. So, you know, Caleb... Mm-hmm. You know, we post our stories up on our links, and so
yes,
a lot of times they have videos and images and stuff that is difficult to see while you're listening to the radio.
Yes, but right. You can find them on facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme, or a little later after we've posted the shows up onto our own website, it'll be at robotsattack.me.
Yeah, if you don't go see it, we might send Harvard bees after you on little strings. Go for broke.
Alrighty. So staying with, in some ways, the winged theme that has been kind of going on here.
Oh, we're going with this.
In case you've been living under a automotive rock, you probably have heard about the announcement of Tesla's new SUV vehicle, the Tesla Model X.
This thing is crazy.
This thing is a little bit nuts. And one of its...
I think it's like 45% nuts.
It's a significant amount of nuts. I mean, and one of its leading, like, kind of like visual wow factors is its door design. Now, that might sound a little bit like, but if you've seen any of the iconic photographs of the Mercedes Gullwing doors, you have an idea of what this looks like. But at the same time, you don't, because these things are the Gullwing doors and then some. Oh, some of them refer to them as the Falcon door because it has two hinge points in the door.
Oh.
Okay, not the Falcon Punch.
Not the Falcon Punch.
Okay.
Captain Falcon,
you can hit people with these doors, but...
That's true. But probably not their intended purpose.
It'll be difficult because they would have to be hanging directly above you.
So... The
you can hit ninjas effectively with these doors.
If they're very slow-moving ninjas, because these doors are not fast. So these doors are designed for safety and ease of entry to the vehicle.
Oh, okay.
Now, so for those who are unfamiliar with the Gullwing door, lifts upward instead of outward. So the full height of the vehicle is used as an entry point for the occupants either entering or exiting. And these doors are unique in the fact that they will actually, they can lift vertically up in a space that should be too small to swing a door. One of the examples they used is they had video of two SUVs of the Model X parked between two SUVs, contemporary SUVs, that a person couldn't walk between. The person in the video was Elon Musk. He couldn't like actually wedge himself between it. And he's not a small guy. He's about 6'2", 200 something pounds.
Okay.
But when they hit the button for the doors to open, they actually lifted up and folded in such a way that you were able to get the doors fully open without actually disturb the doors or the vehicles next to you.
I'm just imagining like actual passengers for the vehicle, like... applauding and then slowly realizing that it does them no good. It's like, oh, that's really impressive. I still can't get in the car.
That's an example of the fact that if someone parks like a not so nice person next to you, there's a decent chance you can still enter or exit your vehicle.
Mm.
If you're a ninja.
Even if you're not a ninja. But like that's kind of like one of its leading features. There's I also have a link to a Jalopnik article that has like just details all the long list of cool things that this vehicle is bringing in.
Ooh, you have to talk about did you hear about the biohazard thing?
Yes.
Okay, you have to at least mention
the vehicle has a unique feature which is called the bioweapon defense. It's a button you press, and it will feed all of the air through a 35-foot-long filter that should clear out most allergens and toxins in the air.
Wow. Okay.
So,
it goes a little bit beyond that. What the actual trick of it is that it creates a positive force of air in the vehicle for a certain amount of time that should allow you to get through even a virus attack or virus outbreak, which is the big thing because viruses are so tiny that a HEPA filter can't even do anything with it. It's just like, oh, we'll just go on right through. But supposedly this makes it so that pressure will allow you to traverse the environment without a problem.
So you might be able to escape the T-virus with this.
Right. As long as it's in a contained area.
Yeah. If it spreads too far, well, that's a bigger problem, quite literally.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of cool tech. And for those who are price conscious, this will probably be beyond your price sensitivity. But yeah, it's a lot of really cool tech, and it's one of those things like pushing the boundaries of what a vehicle is can be and can do for drivers and passengers is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it pretty much maintained all of the abilities of the previous S model as well for it being a larger vehicle too, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it does have ludicrous speed.
Yeah,
so you
nice.
Can you can go from 0 to 60 in like what 3.2 seconds. It's a ridiculous amount of speed.
They labeled the dial specifically for Ludacris, who's on the waiting list for this.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, here's something that you don't even need to be on any waiting lists or anything, and it doesn't cost you a thing. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that's building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. You can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Okay. I have sort of a double story.
Oh, jeez.
It won't take forever.
Okay, good, because we don't have forever.
Yeah. Okay. The first of which is Battlefront... The next Star Wars first-person slash third-person shooter that's coming out in a very short amount of time, at least in beta form.
Yeah, that's right.
They announced
that
they are completely snubbing microtransactions.
What?
They're like, none of that stuff.
What?
In our game, we're keeping our game for professionals. Anything that you get, you are unlocking, sir.
Whoa.
Or madame.
Okay.
Or whatever in between. Yes.
Yes.
Whatever, like, a proper of anything else would be. Mm-hmm. So, that's kind of a big deal, because everybody loves microtransactions these days, because it's a good way to make money and everything.
Yep.
In related news, mostly because of the microtransactions thing.
Oh, okay.
Bungie fully embracing microtransactions. Starting on the 13th, and this is incredibly hot off the presses. This just released right before the radio show started.
Wow.
Breaking news, folks.
Right.
For those listening live.
Yeah.
Right. A reporter basically found out that they had been playing with this idea for a while, and so they asked them for a comment, and they confirmed on their website or one of their many blog sites that they are indeed going to be starting up microtransactions in Destiny. And the main way that they're going to use those at first is going to be skins for your bikes and for emotes. Which everybody's been wondering how they're going to handle the emotes thing. And so now you know. You're going to be able to... So far, it looks like you can replace the point emote with whatever you end up purchasing that. And it's also a kind of nifty little bit. If anybody noticed, they removed the Claudia Black voiced character.
That made me very sad when I realized that they'd done that.
Right. She is returning on the 13th,
yay!
Apparently. She is going to be the shopkeeper for all of the microtransactions. Yeah. Okay. She's starting an actual, like, storefront, which she always had a kind of weird thing before, because it was basically all of the bonus content that you managed to unlock by hunting down codes all over the internet and so on. Mm-hmm. It's like, it was a oddly specific thing for them to just have somebody voiced by kind of a classic sci-fi person.
Yeah.
For. So hopefully we'll get a lot more voice work from her because of that also, and I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how far the microtransactions go. But it's official. Bungie and DICE are glaring at each other across the fighting lines of microtransactions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a lot of glaring.
We'll see if one breaks,
right.
One stays strong. So I got a story that I think might interest you guys.
Uh-huh.
I think so.
Okay.
It looks like Sony is developing an animated Ghostbusters movie.
Sounds good.
According to an exclusive at the tracking board, Sony...
So this makes the third movie, or is this...
Yeah, I guess
so. Wow, okay.
If that other male one is still going to ever happen. But, Sony is reportedly planning to make an animated Ghostbusters film that will once again feature an all-male cast of scientists who create new technology to combat and capture the ghosts haunting Manhattan. However... The animated Ghostbusters movie is said to be geared towards a much younger audience than the one that's coming out next year, in the hopes of creating new Ghostbusters fans for the inevitable sequels. The new Ghostbusters animation film is being produced by Ivan Reitman and Tom Pollock of Montesino Picture Company, with Sony Pictures Animations, Ali Bell, and Christine Belson. Sony had previously indicated that another live-action Ghostbusters movie with an all-male cast was also in the works, but Reitman denied that report earlier this year. Denied it.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it gives it, this article has a little, you know, history about the real Ghostbusters animated, you know, series in 1986.
That's one. What the heck happened to that one? They're releasing all of these weird things all over the place. Why do we not have that one again? There's some episodes of that I remember being really cool. Of course, I was young.
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe if this animated Ghostbusters movie is successful, maybe then they'll dump the
hopefully
on there. So there you go. Looks like next year is going to be Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters.
I'm okay with that. I'm all for as many of the Ghostbusters as possible. Yeah, and it's funny too. Like I heard a story. Who knows? Since all of the stuff for that second movie has been smeared all over the place, but apparently that second movie was never meant to be an all male cast. It was actually going to be like a 50-50 cast. So. Who knows?
Yeah, seriously. It.
I think it's probably just not going to happen.
Yeah, at this point.
It'll be interesting to see what comes up next. Speaking of coming up next is... I mentioned robots. We like to talk about technologies and the robotics.
When we have to.
When we have to, yeah. The this is a new robot hand, specifically.
Okay. And that doesn't look like a hand.
Well, it's
more vaguely like, handish.
It's more like fingers, I guess, is the better way to phrase it.
No, it's not.
Not long ago, I mentioned there was the.
Oh, that's creepy.
The robot the one that would learn to improvise and grip things more effectively and use tools that weren't necessarily in their proper orientation when
right.
they first picked it up. And that's all well and good when. Like, the robot has tools designed for a robot, or not. You know, it can be flexible, but it's probably stronger for when it does know what the tool is. But what about all those things that are designed for the human hand?
Right, because normally their arms are strong.
Robots' arms are very strong, and they're made of metal. so if a robot was to have to interact with a things for the human scale, and the human sense of touch, and the human dexterity, like, how would they go about doing that when they don't have digits or grippers like we do? Like, and a group at MIT is actually designing
MIT.
I believe it's MIT. A new type. Yeah, MIT.
Focus
designing
on bees
a new
like
type
Harvard
of gripping system, which is designed to interact with the object more like a human hand. So the fingers, the grips are more like fingers that will reach out and grasp something. Like,
these are creepy fingers, though. Let's be honest. These are creepy plastic fingers.
In their current state, they're very rudimentary, but they are.
No, they look pretty high tech. I mean, they're like little. They're like plastic accordions that go. Yeah, watch this.
So that.
Bleep.
There will be a.
That is weird,
links,
sir.
Links to the story with video and stuff, but it's really interesting engineering and advancement technique, technological advancement as we learn more about ourselves and how to replicate it with mechanisms. And it's just kind of cool to see.
I can't stop looking at it.
It's not a good one.
Yeah, it's just mesmerized by it. It is interesting. You definitely want to check it out and see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice actually seeing it in action, like pop out.
Yeah.
Grab it.
Right, because they don't look like they should move like that.
Yeah. Like, whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
Speaking of
surprising dexterity robots.
Speaking of things that don't look like they should move like that.
Oh, jeez.
The movie Akira. That people have been talking about making a live action movie of forever.
For decades.
Yeah.
It's like that and Battle Angel Alita have like been like the movie that like they've been talking about forever.
Yeah. Apparently Alita is still going to happen, but after
I believe that when I see it.
After Cameron finishes like 14 other movies, apparently. Which you know.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe he'll find the secret to everlasting life and just keep making movies forever.
Maybe.
If anybody can do it, that guy can do it.
It's true.
Anyway, back to the important news at hand, the Akira film, in effort to try and make it a little bit more firmed up, they've been looking for directors for said movie and went to Fury Road's George Miller.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah.
That's a it's yes. I could see him pulling it off, but at the same time it's like
yeah. Oh. Unfortunately he turned it down.
Akira what?
Right.
Akira who?
That would have been kind of awesome though. Mm-hmm. But apparently there'd been a lot of speculation that his last movie was heavily inspired as far as all of the chase scenes and so on by the Akira movie.
Oh.
And he handily dismissed that in the same report. It was like, yeah, it really didn't have anything to do with that at all. I mean, I like all of the Japanese stuff. It looks really cool and everything. It sounded almost like he didn't know what Akira was by the quotes that I saw.
It's possible.
But yeah, apparently that's not going to happen. So I provide you that news story of something that's not going to happen.
I think another thing he denied or turned down also was Man of Steel 2 or something. There was rumors
he
might
that
be attached
early
to that.
In the
and
week.
He was like, no.
Yeah.
I mean,
can you imagine being that guy at this point and just having to shrug off all of this stuff at this point? And he literally, the way that he responded first was saying that, yeah, literally after doing this last movie, my dance card is very full. And he used exactly those words, which sounds like him, because who says dance card anymore?
It's true.
Other than George Miller and feel completely secure in himself. Like, yeah, I said dance card. Yeah.
It makes sense. Makes
dance
sense.
Card all the time.
All right, well, shall I wrap us up with this day in history, gents?
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to...
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. This day in history, we have on October 5th, October 5th, just to, you know, someone's listening to this list later... They're like, wait, did this happen when I'm listening to it? No, this is October 5th. 1877, Chief Joseph surrendered to the U.S. Army. Then we jump to 1910. King Manuel II was overthrown in a revolution and Portugal became a republic.
Oh, wow.
Then 11 years later, in 1921, the World Series was broadcast on the radio for the first time.
And we're on the radio now.
Oh, man. Hopefully we're more exciting than baseball.
On the radio, almost anything's more exciting than baseball.
Oh, man.
I'm
sorry, baseball lovers. We're not your normal like baseball fans. That's all.
It's true. I apologize for that. If you like baseball, that's awesome.
Right, mm-hmm. Especially listening to it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
I'll learn to that.
In 1947, we jump into the 40s. In the first televised White House address, President Truman urged Americans to refrain from eating meat on Tuesdays and poultry on Sundays to help starving people in other countries.
Oh, there you go.
Can you imagine if Obama did that? Okay, then we jump to 1953.
Everyone would come unglued, I'm sure.
Yep. In 1953, Earl Warren was sworn in as the 14th Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Then we have in 1962 into the 60s, the Beatles released their first hit, Love Me Do, in Britain.
Also, quite a good album, I hear.
And then to the 90s, 1990 to be exact. Cincinnati's Contemporary Arts Center and its director were acquitted of obscenity charges resulting from an exhibit of Robert Mapplethorpe's photographs.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And going back to baseball, we end it with more baseball.
Nice.
2001, Barry Bonds broke Mark McGwire's record of 71 home runs in one season when he hit his 71st and 72nd homers.
Hey, this day in history.
Almost entirely positive news this time, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey.
It's kind of scary.
Yay.
Yeah, I am kind of a little scared.
Maybe we made up for it with all of the other ones.
Yeah, all the other bad stuff. Oh, this person died. Oh, this one was the...
This was a war.
Yeah. This day in history, largely positive.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Uh-oh. I hope that next week isn't like a truckload of bad stuff. All that.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll find out. And speaking of finding out, Caleb.
Yes.
Since we are at the end of our show, It's not too late, of course, to participate on the show.
That is correct.
Even though they're like, but it's ending. I have to wait till next week. I have to wait till next Monday on KCU Santa Clara at 7 o'clock to 9 to get more Robots Attack. No, you don't.
That's right. If you want to get more Robots Attack, well, not maybe this exact second, but right after we go off the air, you can go to robotsattack.me and just saturate yourself in Robots Attack. We have...
Yes, all the news stories we talked about, like I mentioned, a lot of times about pictures and videos. You can go back if you didn't have a chance, read the entire articles, look at the pictures, watch the videos of the robot hand.
Yes. I'm swimming in it right now.
Jason's wet.
It's warm.
It's like the ending of Final Fantasy, Spirits Within. Anyways, the website is chock full of good things, not the least of which is the archive of the show, show notes, detail links to all the stuff we've been talking about, and also it also links to our social networking pages like facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Both of those can still ping us, tell us what you thought of things, or leave the comment on robotsattack.me. You can do all that there as well.
That's right. Yeah, let us know. You know, if you've got some story ideas, if you want to say, hey guys, check this out. You should talk about this in your next show. We'd love to hear them. If you've got even ideas for the show, like, hey, you know what, you should talk more on this section, or talk less on this. I don't care about that. You know, blah blah blah.
Tell us what you would like to watch in the watch party. Like, you know, give us a suggestion. We only have so many brain cells between the three of us to come up with good ideas.
That's right.
We need your help. Need it.
These guys actually have a lot of brain cells. I've counted them.
Whoa.
There's a lot. Yeah.
All right. On behalf of myself, Caleb, and Jason, we want to thank you for listening, and we'll be back with more Robots Attack next Monday from 7 to 9 here on KACU Santa Clara. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and we'll catch you next time.
Raccoon, Veronica, Mistel.